We're going to be looking at 2 John here in just a minute. And before we do, I'd like to open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for the opportunity to get together and fellowship together and worship together. And Lord, this morning I ask you to remove any distractions from my mind. Help me to be focused on you and your word. Help us as a church family to remember you for who you are, worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise. Help us to remember that you do care about all the details of our lives, and you really are with us. You are fighting the victories for us. And all the cares and worries of the week should fade away in comparison to your glory and your truly amazing grace. We praise you. We love you. And it is our prayer that this is a time that blesses you and brings you honor and glory, Lord. In your Son's name, amen. Well, I'm going to read through 2 John, and then we'll go back and kind of flesh it out a little bit. Starting in verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have hoped for and what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I'd rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. Now, when Lydia saw that I was going to be preaching this morning, I got a yay. And then it occurred to me that it's probably because generally I preach about half the time that Dave does. I'm not making that promise this morning, Lydia. No. So back in verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. The elder, you know, the Apostle John is a spiritual leader, an overseer, and he's writing specifically to a woman who has been chosen by God and for God and her children. And there's some debate whether these are her physical children or those who are worshiping with her. It's possible that she has opened up her home as a place of worship for a local community. But what's important for us to see here is the foundation of truth. Zach was talking about the excitement that comes from meeting somebody else that shares in your appreciation of a game or a superhero or a movie, and how that instantly creates community. And those are great movies. Those are fun to enjoy. but even those communities aren't founded on this foundational truth of who Christ is. So as we move forward and we share hobbies with people that enjoy them, we need to focus on the truth and remember it. And truth should be a natural foundation for love. Specifically here is love for who God is and what he has done for us. And he's telling this woman and her children that because of the foundational truth of who Christ is and what he has done, not only does he love them, but all those who know the truth love them. It doesn't matter what location we serve in and gather into worship. There's a bond on this foundation of truth that reaches beyond the natural boundaries of this property. You can see it when you run into other believers in other places. That truth growing into love. And verse 2 goes on to tell us, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. An everlasting bond of community grounded on the truth of Scripture, grounded on who Christ really is. And that will never change. It will be with us forever. Grace, peace, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son, in truth and in love. In truth and in love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth just as we were commanded by the Father. There's three very important themes in this very short book: truth, love, and obedience. Truth grows into love, and our love for who God is, the natural flow of that is obedience to the things that he's commanded us. And John is rejoicing that some of the children of this woman are walking in that truth. They're walking in obedience to who Christ is and what he has done for them. And we can rejoice with him in that. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. How do we love one another? We bear one another's burdens. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. Here at Valley, we do that through our GCs and our DNA groups. We share meals together. We share concerns together. We share victories together, so that we weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And we wrestle with Scripture together, always encouraging one another to learn more truth, to have a better understanding of who God is, which should naturally lead to a deeper love for him and a deeper love for one another, and result in obedience, an ever-growing obedience. In verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. In verse 7, because this is the reason why we love and why truth is so important. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. If you remember back several months ago, we looked at Galatians together, and there were many that were going around telling new believers that they had to become Jews and then they could become Christians. They had to be circumcised. They were doubting the truth of Christ. They were working in opposition to him. And the same thing is occurring here in the letter to this elect lady. And it's important to point out that this truth that we're looking at, that we're discussing essential doctrines, essential things, things that deal specifically with the person and work of Jesus Christ. If he isn't who he said he is, then it isn't the gospel that they're preaching. Deceiver. I lost it. Deceiver means imposter or misleader or seducer. A fake gospel being preached by fake believers in an attempt to lead people astray, to follow a different gospel and a false god. The word antichrist means the opponent of the Messiah, the opponent of Christ. They are men and women who are teaching things contrary to Scripture. They're messing around with this core foundational truth of the gospel, of who Christ is and what he has accomplished for us. In modern churches, part of that shows itself as legalism and becomes burdensome. One of the key differences between the other religions and the truth of the gospel is we don't have to walk in obedience and be good enough to earn favor with God in order to attain a better future. We walk in obedience and strive to be holy, strive to be the men and women that God has called us to be because we understand the truth of who Christ is and what he's already accomplished for us. That unmerited favor, that grace that he has already shown us. We are called to be holy, and we should take sin very seriously. No one should take sin more seriously than a follower of Christ. But because of who he is and the victory that he's purchased for us on the cross, our obedience comes from a place of victory and joy and peace. If people come and teach anything other than that, it's a different gospel. It's about works and not about our salvation and faith and grace. Verse 8 says, "Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward." Now back in verse 2, it says, "The truth will be with us forever." Though sin does damage our relationship with God, it has consequences. But because God is faithful and his salvation is sure and Christ is our anchor, we won't lose our salvation, but we risk losing our full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote of some who had left a local body. He said, "They went out from us because they weren't of us." I'm not telling you to sit in that hard judgment of people like that, but understand that abiding is a natural outflow of the reality of the salvation of myself. And it says to watch yourself. Examine myself to be sure that I'm of the faith. I should be seeing a hunger for the truth and a desire to know it more fully, and a growing love for God and for other people as evidence of my abiding. And abiding means to pitch your tent and live there. It's where you hang your hat. It's where you park your horse. That firm foundation of who Christ is, just as we were singing this morning. All other ground is sinking sand. If I strive and struggle on my own to be obedient and earn favor with God, that ground is going to shift. Because try as I might, I'm not perfect. I still have a lot of truth to learn. I still have a lot to learn about what it means to love God and love His people. Verse 10 gets harder. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. It doesn't sound very tolerant, does it? It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be around sinners. God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. He has called us to be light in a dark world. That means we have to be around sinners. One of the things that stuck with me early on after I joined the Army, we were out in the field, and I was a cigarette smoker at the time. And we were trying to teach new recruits about light discipline. So I went like 300 yards across this field and another 20 or 30 yards into the trees and lit a cigarette. I ducked down so they couldn't see me light it. I lit the cigarette, and then I stood up and started walking towards them. And this is about 2 o'clock in the morning, just pitch dark, and you could see that little ember from that far away. The smallest of light can have a huge impact. And that's what we're called to be. And the more we learn of truth, the more we love God, and the more we're loving other people, the brighter that light becomes. So what is John encouraging here? If someone claims to be a follower of Christ, and is attempting to teach anything contrary to the doctrine, those essential doctrines related to the personal work of Christ, he's teaching a false doctrine. And we need to be on guard. We need to not give them room to lead others astray. This is why discernment is so important. How do you know if I'm standing up here telling you the truth if you don't study it for yourself? So many people are being tossed around by every wind of doctrine. Be because they have no discernment. They haven't taken the time to really study the Word and learn who God really is, to see who Christ really is, to see what he actually has accomplished on our behalf and the work that he's still doing in us and through us. And the Bible warned that these days would come. The Bible also told us how to combat it, and that is to preach the Word faithfully, completely. Truth. I heard years ago that young bankers were often given the job of counting money, just sitting there and counting money over and over and over again. They would learn the feel and smell and look of genuine currency so that if somebody tried to slip them a fake, it would be more easily recognized. Study the truth over and over and over again. Scripture encourages us to meditate on it, and that word is like a cow chewing its cud, just chewing it over and over and over again. Let it sink in. Get every bit of nutrient out of it that is possible. And when you think you've got it, go back and do it again. Because we never outgrow our need for the truth. We never outgrow it. Coming back to the gospel, always to the gospel, the reality of who Christ is and what he has done on our behalf and what he is doing in us and through us. That is the only way that we will make sure that we win our full reward. In verse 11, it says, "For whoever greets him takes part in the wicked deeds, in his wicked works." That's kind of scary, isn't it? If Pastor Dave and the other leaders of Valley were to allow somebody to teach and preach something contrary to the gospel, they are sharing in that wicked work. That's why it's so important when we look at elders in the local church, but it's also important when we decide what books we're reading, what radio preachers we're listening to, who's on TV. "Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete." Now, I'm fairly introverted, and I talk to people all day at work, all week, and it takes a lot out of me. But there is joy and peace that I get to enjoy and appreciate when I get together with other believers, even if it's at the end of a long and difficult day. There is something refreshing about it, even if it's having a meal together and not talking about anything real important, just how the day is going and maybe a video game or the next Star Wars movie. That's good. "The children of your elect sister greet you." Very short letter. but I find it to be an extremely important letter. It reminds us to cut away the fluff. We can get so wrapped up in arguing over the carpet in our worship center, what style of music we listen to in church on Sundays, whether or not instruments should be included. We get distracted by such temporary things. And at the same time, we are not careful about who we let teach us and preach us about who Christ is. The truth, our solid rock, Christ coming in the flesh to save sinners like me, to fully redeem us, to pay the penalty for the disobedience that is ingrained in my nature. Yet fully God. That's important. Did he save me and then tell me to figure it out on my own? Well, Paul says, calls the Galatians foolish for doing that. Is he really able to keep me and preserve me and save me and shape me into the man that he's calling me to be? Or, even though I couldn't save myself by works, now I have to make myself holy by my own works? That's important. Our sufficient Savior is Christ alone. Grace alone. Faith alone. And truth is found in no other place except Scripture alone. We can find it being presented in books and in other places. But it's got to be Scripture. It's got to be who He is and who He says He is. It was my prayer that as we go forward today, we have a renewed hunger for the truth, a renewed hunger to know God more fully, to focus on what's important, and have a deeper, richer, more full love for Him and for His people. And that we would experience a joy that is complete in Him as our foundation and in the time together that we spend as brothers and sisters. Zach, are you ready?